Buddy, today what we're going to do to tackle this presentation is exotic chauffeurs. I have probably the world's largest collection of exotic chauffeurs in this bag. And what I'm going to do is going to use them to bring out different aspects of the halakha of chauffeur. In fact, let's just, can we put that table behind you? Slide it up along here, because this table ain't going to be long enough. Slide it next to this one. Okay, so let's start off. What kind of horn do you think is the least suitable, the least kosher for chauffeur? What animal? Who said that? Wow, you're good. Yours? Name again? Alex from? Squiggle the that's right. Antler, yeah. Why is an antler the least kosher? Right. The least type of kosher horn is one that is not hollow. For example, an antler from a deer. Right, I have an example right here. Here we go. Here we go. An antler. Okay, this is the least kosher type of horn because it's not hollow. All the other horns we're going to be seeing are all hollow. An antler is one solid piece of bone. Okay, so now, even if you were to very ingeniously, you know, drill a hole through it and turn it into a musical instrument, it would still be no good. Because the word chauffeur, just from an etymological standpoint, right, the meaning of the word refers to a hollow tube. A chauffeur means a hollow horn. This is not a hollow horn. Even if you hollow it out, but that's just not what a chauffeur is. So an antler from a deer, right, yeah, let's put it around here, is totally unsuitable for a chauffeur. Interestingly, when this is codified in the halakha for it, so it speaks about how you can't use the horn of a tzvi because it's not hollow. Now, what's a tzvi? Right, so those guys in the Zutara class, we learned that a tzvi is actually a gazelle. But when this halakha was codified, it was by people who were taking already the Masorah from Europe, where in Europe there were no gazelles, so they already used the word tzvi for the closest equivalent, which is the deer. Okay. So that's the least suitable thing. Now what else, what other kinds of horns do you think might not be suitable for a chauffeur?
Yeah.
Tusks. Tusks, well, tusk isn't a horn, right? Yeah, you're right, a tusk would not be allowed. What other kinds of horns do you think might not be okay?
Both.
Yeah. Horns from non-kosher animals. What about a horn from a non-kosher animal? Can you make a chauffeur from the horn of a non-kosher animal? Let's think. Can you make tefillin? Or a Sefer Torah from the hide of a non-kosher animal?
No.
But there is a difference between, say, tefillin, a Sefer Torah, a mezuzah, and a shofar. What's the difference between them? Stick a shofar out. Stick one here. Here's a shofar, right? What can I do with this that I can't do with a mezuzah?
Drop it.
That's scary.
I can drop it. No
kedusha.
Can
make
I can drop it. I can throw it in the garbage when I'm done with it. Right? There's no kedusha. There's no kedusha. Right? That's pretty strong. Right? There's no kedusha. So it's not clear. Right? And even in discussing, say, in the base of Mikdash and the Mishkan, it's not entirely clear if you were able to use non-kosher animals in it. Right? There was a tachash or a chashim. In the Zutara class, we'll discuss what Tachash Mayan is, but there's dispute as to whether it was an animal, a kosher animal, a non-kosher animal. So it's not entirely clear if the shofar has to come from a horn of a non-kosher animal. So what's said in the halakha sfarim is that, you know, really you should use a horn from a kosher animal. But if you've got nothing else around, in worst case scenario, then you can use the horn from a non-kosher animal. Okay? So what example would that be? Non-kosher, pig? Pig doesn't have any horns. Unicorn. Okay. Unicorn. Right. So,
it's a narwhal.
Oh, it's unicorn.
You shall not pass. Right. What's this one?
A
narwhal. Right. Now, if you found one of these in the Middle Ages, if you found one of these in the Middle Ages, you'd be a very wealthy man. The king might trade his entire castle for one of these. It's the it was thought to be the horn of a unicorn. In fact, it's the tusk of a narwhal. A narwhal is a whale. It gets to be about 12 feet long. And it has a tusk. Its front left tooth goes out in a spiral to be up to 9 feet long. Right?
That's a tooth?
Yeah, it's a tooth. This is a very small replica of one.
It's a replica?
Replica, yeah. It's a real thing you cannot, well, you can buy for like $20,000 in the black market, but not legally and easily. Okay, so a narwhal tusk. Well, I don't know. Firstly, it's not even a horn. Right? It's not even a horn, it's a tooth. And it's not hollow either, at least not in this version. So this I think would be along with the antler. Totally unsuitable for the show, but it's not a horn, it's not hollow. So what non-kosher animal? We're talking about a non-kosher animal, the horn of a non-kosher animal that you shouldn't use if you have a kosher one, but if all else fails, you can use it.
Which? Bull.
Bull? Bull is kosher. Walrus. That's also a tooth.
That's also a rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros. Okay, what about a rhinoceros? Would that be a good example? It's a horn. It's a horn. But that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't work in this category. Because even if you had nothing else available, you still would not be able to use a horn of a rhino. Why not? It's not hollow. Right. What's a rhino's horn made out of?
Keratin.
Keratin. One solid, this stuff, fingernails. Right. One solid lump of keratin. Right. Keratin, your hair and your fingernails are made out of the same stuff. A rhino horn is one solid lump of that. So we're still looking for a non-kosher animal with a horn that you can theoretically make into a shofar.
An oryx?
It's kosher.
Okay,
great.
Kosher.
Ibex.
Kosher.
There is.
How about how about a jackalope? Right, a jackalope is not kosher. It's going to have split hooves. And horns. So a jackalope would be a non-kosher animal with horns. A jackalope. A jackalope. Brandon and I can out west in the US. Right, if you go to any like souvenir stores, curio stores in like, you know, Arizona, Texas, those kinds of places, you'll see jackalopes for sale. Now, as it happens, there's no such thing. Right? There's no such thing as a jackalope. It's a rabbit which has had some, you know, horns attached to it. But you know, why do they have this legend of jackalope? It's interesting. If you look at zoology books from the Middle Ages, the medieval period, you'll see illustrations of horned rabbits. It was thought that there was a species of rabbits with horns. And the reason for that is that sometimes rabbits are prone to a certain fungal infection. When they get it, they start growing horns on top of their head. So that's where the legend of the horned rabbit came from, and that's why people started making jackalopes. But there's no such thing. So which horned animal is there which is non-kosher and you can make its horns into a shofar?
There is none.
Yes! There is none. Right, there is no non-kosher animal which has horns that could be used as a shofar. No such thing. Right, so why is it discussed in Halakha Sefarim? Because they were very smart, and they knew that they didn't know everything in the world. They knew that there's always lots of weird and wonderful animals being discovered. So they thought they'd, you know, cover their bases and talk about the halakha of a non-kosher animal with horns. But as it happens, there aren't any. But if there was, right, if scientists ever do create a jackalope, so its horns would be better than those of the deer. Right? In other words, if you have nothing else available, you could use a jackalope's horns for a show. If it were to exist. Yeah, well, I guess when you had a great big jackalope, you know. Okay, what other kinds of horns are no good for shofar? Well, I'm not talking about, you know, blemishes in terms of being cracked, broken. What kind of species of animals? Yeah? What?
Mountain lion.
Doesn't have horns. No. Ibex. Ibex. We'll get to that. That's fine. We'll get to that soon. A cow, right. A cow.
Oh my god.
Cow shofar. You want to give me the blow?
Oh yeah.
I'm under the weather, so I don't want to blow the shofar. Don't give me just.
Whoa!
Oh my god. Okay. Cow shofar. Right. You cannot make a shofar for a cow. Why not?
Oh!
Just in case you don't know what a cow looks like. Okay, why not?
Because
the
sound.
Nope. Yeah.
Is it gross,
whiskey,
biscuit?
Nope. Oh. The Kamara does discuss something like that. That's not what I'm looking for. Yeah? Golden calf is one reason. Right, golden calf. Enkanega nasa sanega. What does that mean?
Genetic can't bring any evidence against
himself. Yeah, or the prosecutor cannot be used as for the defense. Right, something that was a prosecuting witness. Right, witness for the prosecution, cows are witnesses for the prosecution, is a golden calf, so they can't be used as witnesses for the defense. Right, that's one reason. There's another more technical reason given in the Gemara. Anyone know what it is?
Is it better?
Yeah?
Nope.
Keren. The name Keren. Right, horn is Keren in Hebrew. But the Gemara says that anything that's called a Keren and is not also called a shofar in the Torah, that's a sign that the Torah doesn't approve it for use as a shofar. Right, so two reasons why a cow horn is no good. One, because of the Egel. Egel Azar, golden calf. And another, because it's called a Keren and it's not called a shofar. Where in the Torah do we see that a cow's horn is called a Keren? Which pasuk? No, no. B'char sharoi haraloi l'kani re'im kano. It's a pasuk that refers to a cow's horn calls it a Keren. It doesn't tell you anywhere that it's called a shofar, so that's one reason why cow's horns are no good. And they're completely possible, even worse than those of a non-kosher animal. Right? In other words, if you had nothing else around, you could use the horn of a jackalope were it to exist. But a cow's horn, absolutely not. Now, you absolutely cannot make even if there's nothing else around, you still could not use this in Rosh Hashanah.
What is that? Like, why would somebody make a shofar out of it?
Excellent question. So why would somebody make a shofar if you can't ever use it? Answer is, it's not made as a shofar. I got it on eBay. It was made as a horn. Boromir, right? He had a horn, wasn't using it as a shofar.
Okay. Is that like a beer bong or something?
Okay. Alright, now, here we have another type of horn. Anyone know what animal this comes from? No.
Bull.
Bull.
Yes,
yeah. Very good. Okay, what's it from?
Bison.
Nope.
Bull. Ram.
No. Water buffalo. Wow, how did you know that? Water buffalo, okay. Now, water buffalo is problematic. Why? Right, it's cowish. You know, the horn of a cow is no good. Question is, you know, does a buffalo count as a cow? On the one hand, it is a bovine, right? It is in the larger, cattle family. You know, it's not exactly a cow. So it's discussed in that, that's right. Basically, it's not clear. So it's not clear how cowish a buffalo is. So you shouldn't use it, but if you have nothing else around, you could use it. So the water buffalo would go along with the jackalope as something that you really shouldn't use. But if you have nothing else around, you could use it. Right, so let's move, actually move this table out of the way. These are all shofars you should not use. Okay? Again, a non-kosher animal, buffalo, you really shouldn't use it. If there's nothing else available, you can. Cow, absolutely not. And deer antler, this is not even a shofar. Not what a shofar is. Okay. Now we'll get on to shofars that you may use, that are kosher. What is the, of shofars that you may look at to use that are kosher, what is the least suitable? Anyone know what least suitable would be?
Retinal?
Huh?
Like, spiral?
Nope. Something more, but... The least kosher, of all the kosher ones, would be something like this.
Oh,
my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That'd be a catch.
Not bad, not bad. Some people can't get any sound. Alright. Shh, what's it from? Nope. No. No.
Bull.
Begins with an E.
Elephant.
The
Kindian.
No.
Embryo.
No. Eland.
Eskimo.
Eland. You know what Eland is? Eland is the biggest type of antelope. Weighs up to 2,000 pounds. Yeah. They come from Southern Africa. I saw one last summer in Africa, actually. Saw an eland that came over to me and asked me for a blacha, and I said, "Eland, eland, bam, bam, bam." It's a joke, anyway. Okay, so now why is this the least suitable type of kosher shofar? Because it's straight. Right. Straight. Shofar should be bent, not straight. Why? Why should the shofar be bent and not straight? What? No, the idea is the Yom Noah in days of old, you're supposed to be bent over in. It symbolizes how we're supposed to. We're not like full of ourselves, but we're in awe, right? Days of awe, we're contrite, with shuvah, with repentance, right? And humility before God. So you don't want a shofar that's magnificent and straight, you want one that's bent. Symbolizes that we should be bent. So anything that's straight is. It's kosher, but it's not really what you should be using. So another example, the straight horn would be, actually we'll leave that later. Okay, so a straight horn is not ideal. What's better than a straight horn? One that's bent. Right. Let's pick out one that's bent. I'm going to use, here's a good example. Right. This is from a... Begins with a, yes, what kind of antelope? Begins with a K. Kudu.
Kudu.
Kudu. Kudu. Yeah. Should be. Right, shofars for other occasions can be straight. What other occasion is there where you blow a shofar? Okay. Mashiach. Okay. What other occasion? Oh, a tannis, that's true. What other? Spouty sleep. And all something else. Something we don't do anymore, but they used to. Yovel used to blow a shofar, the Daffy used a straight one in Yovel. Okay. But Rosh Hashanah you want with the bent, so this one is nice and bent. Okay, even though this one is nice and bent, and you know, you can fulfill the mitzvah with this. But if you want to do a mitzvah in a mucha, right, mitzvah in a mucha, the best possible way of fulfilling the mitzvah, you will not use a kudu horn. Right. These kudu horns are actually very popular. Now, it's interesting, they're popular in two types of community. They're popular amongst many of the Yemenites, which is actually very strange. Any Tamanim here? No. Good bars, right. They're actually popular amongst many Yemenites. It's not clear why, but popular amongst them. It's also very popular amongst people who are distant from halacha, shall we say. And they're not clear on which shofar is the best, which is not a kudu. And they like the kudu because, let's face it, you know, it's really cool, right? It's gigantic, spectacular, produces an amazing sound, right? It's also the tourists are very into it. You know, you're in the old city, every souvenir store is selling these, right? And you'll see them, like, their famous postcards of rabbis at the Kotel blowing them, right? So this one looks the most amazing, right? And it is curved, so it is a katkhila, but it's not the best. What's the best way to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar? Which animal?
A ram.
A ram, correct. A ram. Right. Like, Alright, a ram. His shofar doesn't blow very well. Here's a much better one. Okay. A ram's horn is the best kind of shofar. Why is a ram's horn the best kind of shofar? Because of the akeda. Correct. Right? Because of the akeda. Right? Right, Avalon was willing to sacrifice the Yitzchak. In the end, he didn't, and he found a ram as a substitute, which was caught by its horns in the bushes. Right, so and the Akedah is particularly important in Rosh Hashanah. We lane, and the lady mentioned the Akedah. Right, so in the same way, we don't want to use a cow's horn because that reminds us of something bad. We do want to remember something good, and the greatest merits in our history. So that is the Akedah, which will put us in the right frame of mind for realizing how much Messias Nefesh we're willing to do for God. Right, now this is not the kind of ram's horn Shofar you'll see for sale in the stores. This is from a mouflon. A specific species of sheep which has very beautiful horns. So this is much more big and spectacular than the show you'll see for sale. Anyone, any volunteers? Somebody who hasn't? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so a ram's horn is the best. There's many different types of species of sheep, right? So that was from a mouflon. This is from an eoudad, right? Different kind of shape. It has like a triangular cross section.
These are all the best.
Yeah, these are all mislim and a mouflon. Bighorn sheep. Right? I've decided to start naming my chauffeurs. I call this guy Tubby. He's in Tubby the Chauffeur. Right, now, this is actually not kosher. Not because anything wrong with the Rocky Mountain Bighorn sheep, but because this particular one, I got it from the guy who killed it. And he shot it and he had it mounted in his trophy room. Then he decided he didn't want it anymore because he killed a bigger one. So he gave me this one, but the horns had actually been cemented on. So I wasn't able to get all the cement out of it. So it's not kosher for a show, but it's coated with cement on the inside. Also, it doesn't have such a good note at all. But you might want to feel just the weight of this thing.
Here we go.
Doesn't make a good sound. Give it a try.
Do it.
It makes a sound. It's not a very good one. Like I said, yeah, it's good for the blues.
There's concrete.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah. Okay, we're going to complicate things a little bit. Let's talk about this one. What is this show? This is a very beautiful shofar, which is, what animal does this come from? Ibex. Yeah, finally we have an ibex. Right. Anyone ever seen one of these in the wild? Yeah, where? In Gedi. Right. In Gedi is where you'll see ibex. What does In Gedi literally mean? The spring of the goat. Right. The wellspring of the goat. And the goat is this one. Right. In Tanakh it speaks about how David HaMelech was in En Gedi and he saw the Elim. right? So the ibex is a type of goat. It's a wild goat. So any Gadir's goat, but it's a wild goat. Specifically, it's the Yael. Right? So anyone, you know anyone called Yael, named after a wild goat. Now. Okay. Now, here's when things start to get really weird. Because when the Gemara says that a horn, that a shofar for Rosh Hashanah should be bent, gentlemen. When the Gemara says that the horn of the shofar should be a bent horn, not a straight one, it says that a shofar for Rosh Hashanah should be a bent horn like that of a ram, and not a straight horn like that of an ibex.
It's not straight.
It's not straight. So what's going on? The Gemara says the shofar for Rosh Hashanah should be a kafuf, a ka'ayil, like a ram, and not pashut, like an ibex. So what's going on? This is straight. Yeah.
Curve, but it doesn't like twist.
Right. So we see that straight, it doesn't use the word yashar for straight, it uses the word pashut. Right? Pashut means kind of like straightforward. Right? In other words, it's just the horn of an ibex is just straightforward. It just has one curve. It's not twisted like, say, a ram's horn, right, has a twist. A ram's horn is twisted. This is the one that hasn't been made into a shofar. It's twisted. This is just gently curved along one axis. So we see that straight. Hold on, we'll get to that. We'll see that straight does not just mean you know, straight like a sword, like that of Eland, but also means just with a single curve like that of an ibex. Okay. Now, oops. Okay. Maybe just hold it or something. Okay. Now, this is a ram's horn that has not yet been made into a shofar. This is a shofar from a similarly sized ram. Now, how did something this shape get to be this shape? And why? More importantly. Yeah? Yeah, but why? Why is it being straightened down? Yeah.
There's like a core inside of the upper
room. Right. So let's talk about how a shofar gets made. When you start off with the horn of an animal, we'll use a kudu as an example. That's what I happen to have here. Okay. This is a raw kudu horn. Right, here's the kudu shofar. Remember the kudu shofar? This is how it starts off. Now, the way all these horns work, well, firstly, the reason why this is like dull brown and this is beautiful and glossy is that you polish it. Right? If you sand it down, horn, you get this beautiful pearly shine to it. Right, but how do you actually make it into a shofar? So when you cut it off the dead animal, you could cut it off a live animal too, but that would be extremely cool. So it has bone in the inside, and then you soak it, and you heat it also, and then you can take the bony core outside, because the horn is a keratin sheath that goes around a bony core. Whoa. Right, so if you soak it, you take the bony core. Okay?
That's so cool.
Alright, so every single shofar stop, stinks. Okay, every single shofar, you know, has a bony core, right? That Eland horn, right? So this is the bone that came out of this. Right, it took about 5 hours to get this bone out, actually. It was really wedged in good. The weight of it. Right, every single shofar has a bony core. Now, that bony core does not go all the way to the end, right? And this horn would probably go to about here. Okay? So in other words, the hollow part that remains when you take the bony core out, that hollow part does not go all the way to the tip. Right? It only goes to the hollow about here. So how do you make it to a shofar? You want to saw off the end to make a mouthpiece. And then when you saw off the end, but still it's not hollow yet, right? So the hollow only starts here. So you have to drill when you cut it off into the hollow part. Right? Now, drills, you can only drill on a straight line. Right? There's no such thing as drilling in a curve. Don't start thinking about a curved drill bit. A curved drill bit will not drill in a curve. A curved drill bit will do nothing at all. Right? won't do anything. Right, so you can only drill in a straight line. You can't drill in a curve. So how are you going to drill from where you've sawn off the tip, mouthpiece, into the center? So what you do is you heat it up. Heat it up to about 450 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you're able to straighten it out. And once you've straightened it out, then you can drill all the way through to the hollow part. Right, so when you heat up keratin horn, it becomes soft. In fact, about 15 years ago, there was a big scandal in Israel. There were all these chauffeurs appearing in the market here that were absolutely beautiful. Beautiful chauffeurs, beautiful sounds, and they were all identical. Absolutely identical. Somebody was melting down horn to a liquid, pouring it into a mold to make the perfect chauffeur. Now, it looked beautiful, sounded beautiful, and if it was, hustle, not kosher. You can't make a chauffeur by melting down bits of horn and pouring it into a mold. Okay, so that's the idea. They're straightened out. Now, Rav Yosef Kappa, who is a great rav in the Taimani community, he said that once you straighten it out to drill that hole, right, and this chauffeur too, right, this horn, the original horn, I get these things from eBay. Right, I buy it as a chauffeur on eBay. I go to the taxidermy and hunting section on eBay. You know, and you have, you know, hunters who are selling stuff they've killed, or taxidermists. And I look for unusual horns that I haven't got yet. I get the horn, and I take it to a chauffeur maker who turns it into a chauffeur. So the original horn that I got here, the curve on it was like this. You know, the tip on it came right around here. If you look at how a sheep's horns are curved, right, so that's how it's curved in the sheep. So again, when he cut off the tip, he couldn't get to the hollow part. He had to straighten it out. Right, so he had to heat it up and straighten it out. So Rav Yosef Kappa said that once you straighten it out from the original twist like this, into something you can drill through, so then it's not really much different from the ibex horn. Right? And the ibex horn, the Gemara said, was straight. In other words, the Gemara said that you shouldn't use straight horns, and straight like an ibex, it says. So we see that straight does not mean straight like a sword, it means only curved and only with a gentle curve, not twisted. So as Kappa said, therefore, you should not use any chauffeur, even from a sheep that's been straightened to drill. You shouldn't use that. So then what can you do? What can you use? So what Kappa said is that you want to use a ram's horn that has not been straightened at all. And it is possible to get such a thing, and that would be something like this. Now, how do you get a chauffeur like this? What you do is you start off with a horn that is absolutely gigantic. The original horn from this would have gone here and twisted again and ended up about here. Okay, so it was such a gigantic horn that you can cut it a long way in. You can cut it right into the hollow where the hollow starts, right, and you're still left with a nice generous twist. And then you just, you know, you shave down a lot of it to get the mouthpiece being the right size. In other words, as you can see, that this mouthpiece, you know, the diameter at this point of the original horn would have been about this, right? The horn would carry on much, much, much further. So you chop off an enormous amount off the horn, and you're still left with a nice generous twist. Because this horn is so massive, it makes a very deep baritone sound. Anybody who was like laughing really hard at other people who weren't able to do it, want to give it a go? Huh? You guys all talk? Not bad. Okay. So followers of Kappa try and get a chauffeur like this. However, you know, generally speaking, most people in the Jewish world do not hold by that chumrah. Most people say that even though they straighten out horns a little bit, it's still fine. And the reason being that it's still twisted in two dimensions. In other words, the one of the ibex is just a gentle curve, it only bends in one direction. But a regular chauffeur you'll see in the market, even if they straightened it out a bit, it still has more of a twist to it. So most would say that any chauffeur you'll see in the market with a twist to it is fine. Still, you might say that, you know, if you want to get the absolute best possible one, well, opinion, you can go for something like that. Yes, sir?
So,
no, because that's even straighter. That's even worse than an ibex. Like it had the twirl. I know, I was wondering about that, but still, you know, it still has a single. The body of it as a whole is not twisted. What I think would be an interesting grey area would be something like this. Here. This is from a black buck. Right, it's from a black buck, and yeah, this is his left horn, this is his right horn that I had in the chauffeur. So, you know, it has a bit of a twist, but, you know, is this considered to be straight, or is this considered to be twisted? It's not clear to me. Yeah.
You take a straight chauffeur and hold it on, twist it.
Right, that's a good question. Once you heat it up, you can bend it. So, yeah, that would seem to solve the problem. And right, even if you're straightening out the ram's horn to drill it, you could just bend it back again.
Right.
Yeah, that would seem to be a good solution.
So then why couldn't you do that with the Elan?
You could do that, I guess. You have to remember, there's only two Elan chauffeurs in the entire world. This is one of them. But in theory, there's only two Elan chauffeurs in the entire world, as far as I know, and that's one of them, and the other one's not kosher. You know, you don't normally see this one is, yeah. The other one was, if you look at the internet for exotic chauffeurs, there is one website of a guy who does exotic chauffeurs. This guy happens to be a Jews for Jesus guy, and apart from that, he coats all his chauffeurs with polyurethane varnish, you know, to make it more hygienic. That also makes it non-kosher.
What's
that like that cost? So the horns on eBay, the original raw horns go for anything between $30 to a few hundred dollars. Yeah, the Elan horns are pretty cheap, about $35. And to make it a main to a chauffeur is about...
Chauffeurs.
Horns, there's lots of Elan horns available. But to make it, not many people have gotten one made it to a chauffeur. You know, most of the people buying these things are, you know, rednecks who want to, you know... me personally, I bought it as a horn and I took it to a chauffeur maker to make it to a chauffeur. This is a chauffeur I made myself a few weeks ago, but it's not very good. My chauffeur making skills are not as good as my chauffeur acquiring skills. Okay, now, one other very interesting chauffeur to discuss. Now, when you go into a chauffeur store, yeah.
You said that you
It depends on how much work there is involved. I mean, my guy, in the Golan, I go to a place in the Golan, there's three chauffeur factories in the country, Tel Aviv, Haifa, and the Golan. I go to the one in the Golan. It depends how much work he has to do. Some of them are easy, some of them are very hard. That bighorn sheep, the one that he's holding, right, it took him like a day to get the bone out of the middle that was cemented in. The Elan also, it was very hard to get the bone out of the middle. It depends how much work goes into it. Sometimes it's very hard to get the bone out.
It was cemented in.
Usually between $100 and $200. You can do it yourself, but it's hard. It's really an art form. You know, to know exactly how to drill it to the right angle and to get the mouthpiece right is really an art. There's a guy in Beta. His job is taking people's chauffeurs and drilling them and adjusting them to get them acoustically perfect. In other words, you know, it's a whole art to exactly in the shape the mouthpiece should be to get to make it the right sound. It's a whole art. Nice sound.
Huh?
No, as opposed to one, you know, it's this one I made. Right, give it a glimpse. See that it doesn't blow very well. You know, give it a blow. It's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of my chauffeur making abilities. Yeah. Okay, now. A Judaic store selling chauffeurs. There are three types of horns that you'll see available. Number one, a ram's horn, of course, is the most common one you'll see. Kudu horns are also very common. You know, any store selling chauffeurs will also be selling kudu chauffeurs because it's so popular with the tourists. Even though they're not the best kind of chauffeur to use, but they're so cool and, like, you know, so matchy, I was having like a really big horn. Right, so that's the other kind of chauffeur they'll sell. There's a third type of horn that started appearing in the last few years and that is now found in a lot of chauffeur stores. And that is this one.
James
Bond. Right.
James Bond.
James Bond.
Is that what you named it?
James Bond. James Bond. Right. And that's a show that you shall see in all forms. Comes from. It comes from an oryx. This actually has straight horns. Right. It didn't make this one very well. It comes from an oryx. And you'll see it in a lot of chauffeurs. Now, there's two problems with it. Not bad. Okay. Now, there are two problems with this chauffeur. Number one.
It's straight.
Right, it's straight, which means that at best, it's for the effort. Right, at best, it's really supposed to use one that's twisted, and that one's straight. So it's very strange that selling this chauffeur in all the stores with a hefsha when really it's not the kind of thing. It's kosher. Look, it's kosher, but it's not the kind of thing you're supposed to use because it's straight. Okay, there's another problem, actually. What is an oryx called in Hebrew? This is from an oryx. What's a gems box is a type of oryx. What's an oryx called in Hebrew? Anyone know?
Oh, wow.
An oryx in Hebrew is a ra'im. Ra'im. The ra'im of the Torah. It's not entirely clear what it is. According to Sadi Gon, the ra'im of the Torah is the ox, which is an extinct giant buffalo thing. But many others, Sadi Gon says that the ra'im is the oryx. Now, we mentioned earlier that one of the problems with the cow horn, two problems with the cow horn. Or two views as to what the problem is with the cow horn. Number one, Egel HaZahav. Number two, that it's called Keren. Now, the pasuk in which the cow's horn is called a Keren also calls the Re'im's horn a Keren. So if the Re'im is the oryx, which according to some opinions it is, it would be no good because it's called a Keren. So it's amazing that this horn is sold with a Hechsher when it may not even be, pardon being straight, it may not even be kosher at all because it's called Keren in the Torah. So watch out for those oryx horns. Now, another interesting type of shofar I want to show you. We mentioned that a deer's antler is no good. You want to hold it up?
Yeah.
Right, it's no good. Now, there's a type of horn that looks very much like a deer's antler, but it's kosher. This looks like a deer's antler. It's from a pronghorn. Pronghorn is something you only get in America. Pronghorn. But even though it looks like a deer's antler, it's branched, right? But it's hollow. So you can make it into a shofar. So this particular pronghorn, this was his right horn, and his left horn I had made into a shofar. Right? I took off the top bit, polished it down, and I made it into a shofar. Give it a go. Not bad. Okay. So, you know, it's kosher. Right, it's kosher. Okay, please, no blowing now. It's kosher, but it's, it's straight. It's not the kind of thing you should use, but it is kosher. So I get this from a pronghorn. Interestingly, the only thing that's branch horns that are nevertheless hollow. One final point to discuss. Okay, let's use this in the, beautiful, typical chauffeur, with a typical chauffeur shape. I would like somebody to show me how you hold this to blow it. Something we haven't had yet. Okay, come up here. You, sir.
Yes, you.
Don't have to blow it, but just show me how you hold it to blow it. No. How would you hold it? Pretty good. Okay, and I'll tell you why I'm asking this. Let's say, imagine that this was a lulav. Okay. Now, when you hold it, hold on to it. Are you allowed to hold a lulav like this? No. Why not? What? No. Nothing to do with respect. It doesn't go that way. There's a halachal derech kedei lasoi. When you a mitzvah that's made out of something that grows naturally, you have to hold it the way it grows. So because a lulav grows straight up, you have to hold a lulav upright. So with a ram's horn, you have to hold it the way it grows. Now, imagine that, what's your name?
Mordechai.
Imagine that your head is the head of a sheep.
Yes.
How does that horn grow?
Like that.
Now, firstly, that, it's a left horn. It's a lefty. No. No.
Head of four.
No.
It was about
to be. No.
Yeah, pretty good.
Your shoulder gets in the way.
Right, and the sheet goes like this. Right? Right, you can see it here on this sheet. Right, you can see how it grows. Right in front of you. It grows like this. Okay? Now, so that means that when you're blowing it, right, most people will blow a shofar like, will hold a shofar like this. Right, that's pretty good. Right, because that is the way it grows on the animal. Right, this is the end that's attached to the animal. That should be obvious, but incredibly, I meet people who think that the shofar grows from the narrow end. This is the end that's attached to the animal. It starts up a little bit and it basically goes down. So when you're blowing it, the way you blow it, that's fine. That is the way it grows on the animal. Okay. Now, would somebody like to show me how the kudu wears its horn? Somebody like to do a kudu impression? Here you go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. That is, don't know actually. There we go, like that. Right, straight up like that. So since you have to hold it the way it grows on the animal, right, like a saxophone. Now you'll never see anybody blowing a kudu shofar like a saxophone because it looks weird, right? It looks weird, but it's because people aren't thinking about how it grows. You have to hold it the way it grows in the animal, and why with a ram's horn, you know, that ends up being a very nice way to hold the shofar. With a kudu horn, it ends up looking really weird. Because anything like an antelope, the horn goes straight up, so you'd have to hold it facing down. All right, so all this stuff is kind of complicated. However, if you'd like to learn more about it, or if you'd like to tell your folks back home about it, on my website, which is www.zootoroa.com, in the essay section, you can download a PDF called Exotic Shofars, which has pictures of all these shofars and explains all the halakhas. So you can tell your folks back home if they want to learn about the exotic shofars here. They can learn about it from there. That brings us to the end of the class. Any questions? Any questions? Yes, sir. What? Yes, you can all try and blow it. Yes. Any other questions? Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a doody.
Your daddy makes me up some cards and pokes you.
Your honor woke me up with a dragon.
Supposed to make? Sort of not.
No.
That's a fool.